Time for prayer? Dismiss the children?
The children.
Yes. Children, go to children's church, please. Right this minute. can be seated.
Well, good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Welcome again to those who are worshiping online. Pray that you feel the presence of the Lord in your house this morning. Just wanted to remind you that next Wednesday night, not this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night is our Ash Wednesday service. We will have a meal at 5. Our groups and children and youth activities will take place at 6, and we will meet in here at 7 for Ash Wednesday. It's always a good time to stop and reflect on how good God is. Wanted to just remind everyone of opportunities to pray in our fellowship. Can we ever pray too much? No. I think if there's one thing that the body of Christ is lacking, it's probably prayer in that area. We have a group of people, around 55, that pray through an email prayer chain. And if a prayer request comes into the office, I'll distribute that and send that out. People will begin to pray, and I will give updates as needed. Sometimes that's one email a day. Sometimes that's 6 or 7. I'm not looking for any sympathy. I'm just telling you that there's lots to pray about. We pray on Sunday mornings. There's opportunities to pray on the 10th of the month for our community. We have a 24-hour prayer vigil that takes place on the 10th of every month, and we have 23.5 hours of that covered. There's a slot from 11:30 a.m. to noon, so if anybody wants that, raise your hand. Joe Bings got her hand up first, so Joe's got that slot. I'll get you on the list. Thanks for that. And also, we pray for pregnancy resources on the 20th of the month. They've asked our church to do that, and that's done through the email prayer team. There's something on the app that was just added. It's a prayer wall where I have decided to compile all the requests in one location. It's hard for me to sort through emails, and I'm sure it may be for others as well. But it'll be a running list. I'll try to update that daily. And so that's an invitation, I think, for all of us to get involved in praying for the body of Christ. You know, Jesus said to ask, seek, and knock. And if you look at the original language, I believe that reads, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. I believe God wants us to pound on the doors of heaven on behalf of his people. And, I just believe the more prayer that we have, the more we'll see God move. What I want to do, I'm going to pray through this list. I want to show you how simple this can be. You can do your own thing if you choose to participate. But I'm going to pray through this list, and it's probably going to take me about a minute to do that. Lord, I lift up Richard Arthur, healing, and you may want to follow along with me in the app if you want to do that. Richard Arthur, God, I pray for healing from a bicycle accident yesterday. God, I lift up Jackie Murphy, who's struggling with swelling in her body. I pray for Stephanie Bates, God, who had a liver cancer diagnosis this week. I pray for healing and encouragement. I pray for Brian Deaton. I pray you free up that intestinal blockage. I lift up Beverly Smith's mom, who's struggling with her heart. I pray for the Gooch family, Linda Griggs and David and Kirsten, who are struggling with COVID. I pray for Miller Loudermilk's mom, who's recovering from surgery. I lift up Miller and Ed Varela's mom, who are recovering from COVID. Ed Everhart, God bless you, Ed. Glad you're here this morning, who's recovering from a fall. Tim Sandy and Richard Bodine from COVID. I pray for Jackie Hinden, who's having heart issues. I pray for ministry opportunities for Michael Hinden. I lift up Carol Morton's mother, who's struggling with COVID. Dina Warren, I'm praying for job opportunities. Jeff Chanel as he recovers from knee surgery. Terry Balderas as she struggles with her MS issues. Heal her body, Father. Pray for Ann Riling, strength for her body. I pray for Ruben Reyes, job opportunities, and bless the Reyes family. I pray for Nick, who's connected with the Mills family. I pray, God, against the addictions in his life. I pray, God, for Joseph, who called in the office a couple of weeks ago, who's confused and depressed. God, set him free. I lift up Krista Bunger, who's struggling with cancer and pain. For Ken Keefe, continued healing from COVID. Connie Hudgens, healer from cancer, God, and I pray that you bring Austin Tice home. See, church, that was simple. And maybe just reading through the list, I believe God can just hear if we just read through that list. So maybe we can commit to possibly do that. And, you know, I'm just going to be honest, man, I'm looking for some victory. I'm looking for victory. I was really bummed out about Stephanie Bates' cancer diagnosis. She's director of nursing at Mesa Springs and has liver cancer. It's in her lymph nodes. Precious lady, precious family. I just want to see some victory. And so I believe we need to press in. And Jeff's going to preach about us pressing in, continuing to press in, or maybe begin to press in, trusting the Lord for things. So pray with me. Why don't you go ahead and just position yourself to encounter the Lord. I don't know what that might look like for you. Maybe eyes open. You don't have to close your eyes to pray, but you can do that as well. You may want to lift your hands. You may want to turn your hands and just lay them on your lap. Just position yourself to encounter the Lord as we pray. Father, we love you, God, and I just, I'm so grateful that you're a God who's always on time. A God that's all-knowing, all-loving, all-compassionate, all-merciful, all-graceful. And Lord, I believe that you would rather your people not suffer. Father, there's a bigger picture there than we don't see, and so we have to submit ourselves to your sovereignty. Lord, at the same time, God, we ask for breakthrough. We ask for movement. Movement by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, where you heal bodies and set people free. God, for your glory and your glory alone. God, I pray for incredible encouragement for those on the list we just read over. God, let them know that they're not forgotten by you. And Lord, I know there's others that, my goodness, there's so much need here this morning that hasn't been spoken of. But Father, you know that need, God. I just pray that you move in lives of families here this morning that are struggling. People who are anxious, God, people who are worried, struggling with worry, struggling with fear, God, I pray for freedom for those people this morning. God, I just pray for relationships that are severed, relationships that are strained, relationships that are broken. God, I pray for reconciliation in those relationships. Father, I pray peace into situations where there seems to be no peace. I pray for hope in the situations that seem hopeless for people. God, I pray for joy to break out in people that are discouraged. Oh, Father, we need you desperately. And we declare that there is victory in Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God, just thank you for opportunities to pray and have conversation with you. Lord, help us to be better listeners in regard to that. You always have something profound to say. Speak to our hearts. Help us to be better listeners. Oh God, we love you deeply and thank you, Father, for opportunities to worship you. Thank you, Father, for opportunities to pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to sit under the word. I pray blessings on Jeff, God, as he shares your heart this morning to us in the room and to those who are at home. Father, we praise your holy name. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. Sweet.
Well, good morning again. Glad that you're with us. Glad that we have our live stream audience with us as well. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here. I would love to meet you at the end of the service. I'll be out at this end of the foyer and have a free gift for our guests and would, like I say, would love to meet you. If you want to turn to John 3:16, and we're probably pretty familiar with that. We could probably recite it ourselves. But while you're turning there, I want to say a couple of things. Next week, I am going to have a couple of baptisms next week. And if you are someone that has been thinking about getting baptized and have been looking for that opportunity, next week would be a great time. Call me up. Let's talk about it. Also, a few years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, we got security cameras in our church to help keep our children safe. Do y'all remember me talking about that? So we've got, and those things have just given us peace of mind, knowing that we are safe, and they have some downsides too. I wanted to mention that. There are some ramifications to that. It's better for you to see that. Go ahead and see one of the dangers of our video cameras. Those are some moves there. Flesher, I'm sorry. I apologize for your mom that she gets you in those positions, buddy. You know, it's probably just good to know that those are around, right, Robert? You know, the banana thief over here, he is... The things we have caught people doing, some can't even be shown in church. I'm just saying. Anyway. Okay, we had some fun. John 3:16. Even though you're familiar with this passage, I want you to listen with brand new ears this morning. These are the words of Christ, by the way. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's good news, church. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We invite you. We trust that you are here. We ask you now to speak to us in power and authority and to transform our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. What does the church have that the world needs? I want that question to sink in for just a second. Because, I mean, we've talked a lot. The world needs some stuff, huh? What does the church have that the world needs? I was reading kind of the highlights of the paper this morning before I came in, and I want to just recount this story because I think it's significant to the body of Christ right now in our world. Eddie Jordan was pastor at New Light Baptist Church. He was a black pastor, predominantly black church. Had been pastor over there, good man, had been pastor over there for, I don't know, 25 years or something. He had, I'm not sure the cause, but he had liver failure, and he's been on dialysis for years. Every night he had to take several hours of dialysis. A white businessman, some of you may know Tim Yandel, in our church, he and Eddie did not know each other, but they had a business situation where they needed to talk together. So Tim introduced himself to Eddie, and they began to visit. And as they were visiting, Tim began to find out Eddie's dilemma with his dialysis and so on and so forth. And Tim said, "You know what? I'm going to go get tested. Just met this man. Said, I'm going to go get tested." Sure enough, his liver was a match. And they did a story in the newspaper. You may have seen it about 3 weeks ago or so about how they were going to do a liver transplant. They were going down, was it Houston? I believe. believe it was Houston they were going down to. And the story did not perhaps end. I read this morning, the story did not perhaps end the way we all envisioned it. They did the liver transplant. It was successful. But within a few hours, Pastor Eddie began to go downhill and actually passed away. I tell you that story because that's the church. That's the church. You know, we've got all this racial strife in our nation, all the political strife, obviously the COVID stuff, all this stuff going on and everything. And you got two men from two separate pieces of the world, two separate pieces of our culture, that just in the name of Jesus, they just loved each other, and Tim just wanted to do something to bless Eddie. And as I was visiting with Billy about it earlier, you know, he mentioned that God may use the way that ended even more powerfully than he might have if had it gone the other way. What does the church have that the world needs? I'm going to starting a series today, Let the Church Arise. Let the church arise. If ever, I've said this several times in the last few weeks, if ever the world needed the church, it's now. Today's message is share Jesus. So I'm going to dive right in here. The church, we miss this so many times. The church is not a set of rules, creeds, doctrines, or traditions. That's not the church. Now, I'm not discounting those things. They're good things. I'm not setting aside our liturgies and the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and the Lord's Prayer and all of these traditions and creeds and doctrines that we have. I'm not setting those things aside because they remind us of who we are. But that's not the church. That's not what we place our hope in, these creeds. And so many times we think they can separate us. It's like, oh, you don't do it like we do it, so you must not have the true, you know, fullness of God. Those things help remind us and remember who we are, what we believe, and strive to live out, but they're not the hope that the world needs. They're not the hope that the church has for a broken and hurting world. So, leads me to my second point. So if the church is not a set of rules, creeds, doctrines, or tradition, what is it? The church offers Jesus Christ, God in flesh. And I've said this before as well. It's different. Other religions, they point you to a set of doctrines and how to somehow attain a certain status so you can attain some sort of standing before God or whatever they might want to lead you to. But in Christianity, we have Jesus Christ, God made flesh. God reached down to us. We don't have to reach up to God because He reached down to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Normally this passage is we share it around Christmas time, but I think it's important. Matthew 1:20. But after he, speaking of Joseph, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet hundreds of years before the birth of Christ. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So, I don't know this person personally, but I know that there are several, even ministers. Like I said, sometimes I don't know if y'all have ever seen a pastor's head explode, but mine comes close sometimes. There are ministers that actually deny the virgin birth. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That's foundational to our faith, to understand that Jesus was God made flesh, that Jesus was from the very beginning. In Genesis, when we read about the creation, it says that God was there through God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It speaks of the Trinity right there from the very first chapter of the Bible. And God, so Jesus is sitting on his throne. He comes, he empties himself and comes down to earth in flesh form, God with us. That was a significant moment for the church, yes? In fact, I love this. Our very calendar is based on that moment. We have B.C. before Christ, and we have A.D., which I'm not very good at pronouncing my Latin, Anno Domini, Year of Our Lord. It's interesting that that A.D., Year of Our Lord, that continues today. We're in 2021 A.D., Year of Our Lord. Guess what? That means our Lord's still around. He's not in a grave somewhere. Other religions, I've said this before, but like I remember when there was a tour around the nation of Buddha's finger bone. I love that one. I was like, hey, come and see Buddha's finger bone. I'm like, Jesus doesn't have a tour of his bones for us to go and look at because Jesus isn't in the grave. Jesus is God made flesh. We are still in the year of our Lord. And man, again, my head sometimes explodes. Some of the our higher learning system, our higher education, I ran across it in seminary. They have changed the B.C. and the A.D. Now it's the B.C.E. before Common Era, and C.E. Common Era. They're trying to take Jesus even out of our calendaring system. Our dating system. And man, when I'd write papers, I put B.C. and A.D. If I was referencing a date, like, hey, you want to fail me? Just fail me. But I'm not taking the Lord even out of our dating system. The church, we have Jesus Christ, God made flesh. We have Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Do we understand that? It's significant. It's significant. I don't know about you, but when Jesus came into my life, it changed everything. And I've seen, I probably shouldn't go here, but I will. I'm not politically correct. You can figure that one out. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. Have you heard his testimony? I mean, first of all, he's going through all kinds of stuff right now. Twitter's dropped him, and Facebook's dropped him, and he's being shunned. The stores are taking him out of his pillows off the shelves and all that because of just things he said. But if you, I want you to listen to his testimony. This guy was, by his own words, this guy was a serious drug addict. And what changed him? It wasn't therapy. It wasn't that he read a book, a self-help book. Jesus. Jesus took the drugs away from him, changed his life. We, church, we have Jesus. At least bob your head or something. Let me know you're hearing me. We have Jesus. We have to share Jesus. Through my last point. Through Christ. The church proclaims freedom from sin and death and the promise of eternal life. Those are big things. Not to mention that how it changes our life right here today, as I just mentioned, with Mike Lindell and me and so many of you. It's like he changes things right now, but he also gives us promises, freedom from sin and death, and the promise of eternal life. This passage that I just read out of Matthew, I skipped verse 21. Here it is. The angel said, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. You know why he said that? Because Jesus, the word Jesus, to be translated, it means the Lord saves. Well, if if the Lord saves, that means we're messed up. Yes? I mean, we are a people. We're a world in need of being saved. We're broken. Sin has messed that up. The Lord saves. Romans 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I hope she doesn't mind. She did. She was mostly just listening, but I had a conversation with Naomi this week. I want to share just stuff that's been going on. All of the stuff going on in our world, the craziness of it, and the coronavirus, and people getting sick. And I've done some funerals where coronavirus took some people before it was time. And just, it makes you kind of think, doesn't it? I mean, we begin to reflect on. I mean, I already kind of knew this, but it's like, none of us are getting out of this world alive. Did we know that? I mean, is that news to anybody? I mean, we're not. The end will come for us at some point when it's the Lord's time. And I was visiting with Naomi this week, I was just saying, you know, it's made me not only think about some things, but just kind of, Cheryl and I were already in pretty good shape. We had wills, and we have end-of-life directives, and we have all of that stashed away and done. I'm a landowner now. Did you know that? They're only about, 3 feet wide and 6 feet long, but Cheryl and I are landowners now. We got our burial plots. Now, I want to say it for the younger people going, well, you are one weird dude. But as you get a little older, most of you, as we get older, we start trying to take care of some things so our children don't have to take care of all that stuff. And I want it to be said, I want to be around a long time. Because I want to share the love of and the hope we have in Jesus. I want to enjoy my family. I want to enjoy fellowship with you. I want to see my grandkids grow up. Who knows? Maybe someday I might even get to do my grandkids' wedding. Who knows? I want all of that. I hope I'm around a long time, but I also recognize the Lord could take me anytime He's ready. And as I was visiting with Naomi, it's like, I've got some more life insurance, so for Cheryl, not for me, but for Cheryl. It's like, if I go, I want you to be okay. But in the midst of all of that thinking about those things, I'm okay. I'm at peace. So, man, y'all can remember this date, so you can play it if you ever need to, but I'm just okay. I have peace. When the Lord's ready for me, I'm ready. And Paul, I line up so much with what Paul said. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. It means as long as you're here, it's be productive. Share the love of Christ. I mean, that's why we're here, to bring glory to God, to share His goodness and His hope with this crazy world that we're in. But when the Lord takes me, it's an upgrade. It's an upgrade. Church, we have that. We have Jesus. The world needs Jesus. They don't need our rules and our doctrines and our creeds and our traditions. That doesn't change anybody's life. It may remind us of who we are, but I've never known anybody like, you know what? I heard the Apostles' Creed, and man, I just fell down on my knees, accepted the Lord right there on the spot. Maybe that's happened. God can work in any way He wants to, but what changes people is Jesus. And that's what we have. In this peace that I'm talking about, as we know, death is coming for each one of us at some point. Romans 8 says, the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. That peace comes from knowing who Jesus is, what he's done for you, who you belong to, that I'm in his hands, and he's going to take care of me. He has purchased my eternal life. He set me free from the law of sin and death. And church, for goodness sake, if we've got that peace, shouldn't we want to share that with the world? Shouldn't we want? I mean, people should see something in us when things happen, when trauma happens, and I'm just going to say it. Stephanie, if you're watching, Stephanie Bates, if you're watching, you blessed me this week. Stephanie, I don't know how, Stephanie's a young mom, has two teenage daughters, got this diagnosis that's rough this week. And the next, and I called to check on her a couple times, and you know, that'll rattle your cage. But then I saw your Facebook post the next day, Stephanie, and the big old post, the big letter said, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." That's what we have. That's what the world needs. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The church has what the world needs. His name is Jesus. Okay. We're going to lead into a time of communion. Y'all are probably thinking, what are we doing with communion? Why did I get these little cups when I came in? We're getting ready to take communion. If you do not have the little cup with the elements in it, raise your hand. We're going to bring them to you if you want one. Raise your hand. Keep them up, and then when you get it, then lower your hand so we know you've gotten it. Because of, you know, trying to be safe. Yeah, just keep your hand up good and high where they can see you till you get those. Because of trying to keep people safe, we've kind of changed. We've gone to these little portable cups so that everybody's elements are individually packaged. Let me tell you how we're going to do this here in just a moment. We've never done it this way. Some churches do it this way all the time. We're going to take communion right there where you sit in your seat with these, and I'll direct you in that in just a moment. Anybody else need a cup? Thanks, ladies. You know, it really doesn't matter the method. Jesus didn't, again, he didn't give us rules. He didn't say, oh, you need to do it this way or do it that way, or, you know, he didn't. He said, this is my body broken for you. And this is my blood poured out for you. And he said, when you eat and drink of this meal, remember me. It is a remembrance. We in the church, we call this a sacrament, baptism and Holy Communion are sacraments, meaning they're sacred moments, things that Christ directed us to do. So when we partake of this meal, when we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we are remembering what Christ has done for us. And I've known people in the past that have people sometimes don't come to church on Communion Sunday, because it's like, man, I don't feel worthy, or I've got this in my life or whatever. It's like, this is not for perfect people. Did you know that? It's for redeemed people, people who are covered in the blood of Jesus. And so we take this meal as a redeemed people falling on our knees before God, thanking him for the sacrifice of this meal. We come... The invitation, you do not have to be a member of this church or any church. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you have called on him as Lord and Savior, and you repented of your sins, you're welcome to partake of this meal with us this morning. But it begins with repentance. So I ask you now, if you would, to just bow your head and in your own heart, pray your own personal prayer of repentance. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. As in just a moment we'll partake, I want to tell you one last thing. After you partake, we're going to sing one final song. And as you exit, there's some little trash cans and a little tin bucket thing that by the doors, each door has one. You can place your empty container in that. If you would, and it's going to be important for you to open the bread first. If you're sitting next to an Aggie, please help them. Okay? Somebody help Chris right there. Is it okay for a preacher to tell Aggie jokes? I'm not. Is that okay? Okay. If you'll open the bread, this is the body of Christ broken for you, church. Go ahead and partake. If you'll open the juice, this is the blood of Christ shed for you. As often as you drink it and eat this meal, remember him. If you'll pray with me. Father, thank you for this costly meal. We thank you, Jesus, that you found us. I really don't know why, but you found us worthy to hang on a cross, to free us from sin and death, to purchase us eternal life. You are so good to us, Jesus, and we rejoice and who you are. We rejoice in this meal, and we do as you said. We remember the sacrifice that you made so that we might live. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise if you are able as we close with this final hymn. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, I want to remind you that he loves you, and this would be a great Sunday to make that happen. I also remind you next week, I will be set up for baptisms. If you are interested in that, please come and seek me out.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Thank you.
so loved. I want you to place your name right there when I say this. For God so loved. So let's say it. Let's try it again. For God so loved that he gave Jesus so that you would not perish but have eternal life. That's good news, church. Let's go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.